good God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's a wonderful God. Great to serve Him. Sometimes I like to meditate in my vehicle when I'm driving along. And sometimes it just, my mind goes back to when I was, you can be seated, when I was not living for the Lord and doing things, and some of you may be able to relate to this, and I can't imagine today living life without God. I used to think that when the preacher said that he talked to the Lord, I thought, what a weird thing. Because I didn't understand. I didn't know you could talk to God. I didn't know God wanted to talk to me, and I was afraid if he did talk to me, it might be, you know, you're in trouble or something like that. But you know, it's wonderful to be able to have God in our life. Amen. And to be able to worship the Lord and lift up His name. What a privilege. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight, you know, I commend you especially for being here tonight on a holiday weekend. And how many of you had a great weekend so far? Well, we trust we won't disappoint you tonight, the rest of the evening. And we just thank God for you being here and for your dedication, your hunger for the Lord, and your expectation. You know, God will always meet you at the level of your expectation, won't He? Amen. And so, you know, sometimes I remind myself of that, and I just shift gears. I just shift it on up into high expectation. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we do that. Praise the Lord. Those of you that are watching online, we thank you for tuning in also, and we thank you that you are taking the time to be a part of the service tonight. We thank you for that, and we trust that you will be blessed as you receive from the good word of God tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be sharing some things along the lines of knowing and building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And first of all, I want to share something with you. I don't know if it's really got anything to do with this message or not, but I did read it, and I thought you'd like to hear it. There's a mother mouse. I heard about the mother mouse that had some babies, and so the time came that she thought the little babies are big enough. They ought to face the world now, get out of the little nest, you know. And so they slipped out and were walking across the room, and there's the big cat laying there. And the mother is committed. I mean, she wants to teach these young ones how to take care of, how to deal with things, you know, and she doesn't want to show that she's afraid. So she keeps walking, and the cat's got its eyes closed, and it's just as she's walking by, the big paw of the cat goes up, and it starts to come down, and the mother mouse, thinking fast, puts on her biggest voice, and she starts barking like a dog. And the cat gets scared and runs away. And she looked at the baby mouse, and she said, "Sometimes it pays to know a second language." But I was thinking about that. You know, sometimes, you know, in our efforts to know the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God, and we want to be because we're people after God's own heart. Amen. Might want to look at your neighbor and say, "Now he's talking about you." And you know, we have to learn how God talks. We have to learn what He thinks. And so it's you know, if you're coming in out of being in the world, you know, and you start looking into the Bible and so forth, it's a different language. It's like learning a new language. Amen. And so I can remember when I first got into church after having been out and really didn't know anything and just knew enough to come out of the rain and found my way to church, and that not by myself, because somebody invited me. So you know it's important to invite somebody to come to church. Amen. And so, you know, I couldn't hardly understand what they were. I mean, I couldn't figure out why they were talking the way they did. But you know, the hunger and the fact that I had given my life to Christ by myself and had a tremendous experience with that. But I was hungry and wanted the things of God. And so I started learning the language. Everybody say, learning the language. And so as I began, I found out that the language of God is in the book. It's in the Bible. And so we began to, you know, just study the Bible. And I had a King James Version Bible that my parents had insisted that I take with me when I left home. I had taken it to please them. It wasn't my intention. I had walked away and just said I wasn't going to mess with church anymore because it didn't make any sense to me. But I got that out, and then thank God some young kid, he didn't have anything, and he was looked down by everybody in the community, and a little young boy named Billy. He had a living Bible. He had a living Bible. He said, I'm going to give you a living Bible. And I looked at him and I'm thinking, this is a kid that doesn't have anything. I mean, I literally walked the streets, you know, and I don't know what kind of, well, I knew where the house was that he lived in. It was terrible. I mean, I don't know how they made it through the winter. You know, this is up in the Midwest where it gets cold, real cold. And so, but you know, he gave me that Bible and so I'd have my King James and I'd have my Living Bible all side by side, studying and learning the language of the things that God wanted me to know and discover. And so we're, you know, that's the journey that we have as Christians, is to know God, to learn His language, and to begin to use that language, speak that language ourselves. And so that's why we have the Word. Amen. That's why we have the Word, and that's why, you know, when we look into the Word, we can find out not only the language that He speaks, because it contains His thoughts. The Bible is the thoughts of God written down so that we may know what He thinks. The Bible does say this, that the thoughts of God are higher than ours, but it didn't say that we couldn't learn them. You know what I'm saying? And you can learn them. And I found out over the years as we began to seek the Lord, you know, that you could go to the Bible and find the thoughts of God on any circumstance and situation. Amen. And then I found out also that the Holy Spirit came into my inside me when I gave my life to Christ, and He wanted to tell me some things. And I found out this. Now, here's one of the greatest truths that I found out in my Christian walk, and that is this. I don't have to learn the language on my own. He helps me. He helps me learn the language. He is my tutor. He's my guide. He's my helper. He's the one who shows me the way. And He tells me what it is that I need to know at the right time for the right thing. Amen? And He helps us to be successful. And so, John chapter 14 and verse 16, we'll begin there. And I don't know how far we're going to get tonight. I have the distinct privilege of not only ministering tonight, but next Sunday night. So we'll just kind of pick up again next Sunday night if the Lord allows us to do that. And if he doesn't, then we'll flow with what He wants. Amen? We'll just listen to Him and what He says. But as far as I know at this time, that's my plan. And if we'll see how it goes, all right? John chapter 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father. And He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And so in this particular setting, we know that Jesus was coming close to the time when He was going to be betrayed. It was that night. It was at the Last Supper. And we know that He was sharing things that he wanted them to know, because he knew he was leaving. Matter of fact, he told them he was leaving, which is not really particularly good news for the 12 disciples that had left everything. They had left their families, they had left their businesses, they had left their any social acceptance that they, or prestige that they had, was gone. Any religious acceptance that they had was gone. They just didn't have anything except Jesus. And Jesus had told them, just told them, he said, I have to leave. It's not a good moment when somebody tells you that they're leaving or they have to leave. But he said this. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. And that that doesn't really mean a lot in one sense to us in our English language, but in the Greek it means a whole lot more. And he said, he will give you alos parakletos. That's the Greek, which means this, that he will give you one like me that will come alongside to help you. One like Jesus means this then, that he would, the Holy Spirit would say what Jesus would say, and he would do what Jesus would do. Actually, when you get down to it, you'll find out that the Holy Spirit, literally, if Jesus was here today, he'd be doing the same thing that the Holy Spirit is doing too. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is literally assigned to bring forth what Jesus, or continue what Jesus is actually had been doing. And so we know this then, that it's beneficial to read the Gospels because we need to know what Jesus said and what Jesus did, because that's what the Holy Spirit will do and say in our lives. That's his language. You read the Gospels, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus said, love your enemies, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to do something else. When Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given back to you, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something different. He's going to say the same thing. Isn't that right? When Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you, you know, if you come here, I'm going to plant some burden on you that you won't be able to bear. He's not going to say something different than Jesus did. I know that Jesus said this. He said, I came to show you the Father. But I want to tell you something too. He also let the disciples know by saying, Alos Parakletos. He said, another like me is going to come. He's going to say what I say, and he's going to do what I did, and he's going to continue on, and he's going to keep teaching you the same things that I've been teaching you. He's going to bring you further along. I've got to go. The good news is that he will be here, and even when I'm gone. Amen. And then you can look at that. It says he will abide with you forever. He said you can rest your minds about this. I have to leave. I came. I was with you. I have to leave. But that was all part of the plan. And you've got to realize that the Holy Spirit, the difference between the Holy Spirit and Jesus is that he has come to abide forever. Rest your mind. He will never leave you nor forsake you. One of the things that I find so troubling in the Christian community is this. The Christian world is that there are so many Christians that have no concept of an abiding Holy Spirit that always is with them. Always. 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 Everybody say always. Always. Say it again. Always. Always. Amen. Amen. Always. Amen. And so you are never alone as a Christian. You are never alone. You are never alone. And so we have to realize then that it's a tremendous truth then that you can know him, you can receive him, you can You can see what he does, see what he and see what he will do for others because of the fact that he dwells with you. He is in you and with you. He is there. That's why you can know him. The world, the Bible says that the world cannot know him. The world cannot see him. There's a big debate in theological circles. Can the world know him or won't they know him? Did they just refuse? And I have to tell you, the answer's in the word right there. They don't know him because he's not dwelling with them. That's the secret. But you know him because he is with you and is in you, shall be in you. You have him in you. He's with you. That's why you can know him. You know, I have certain people that I like to look up, look at. I have people that I read after. But there's some people, you know, I'd like to meet. I have a list of people I'd like to meet. But you know what? There are people that I've never met. I don't know them because I'm not there with them. Isn't that right? And so you have to understand this then, that you can know him. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, and do like one man, you know, threw his hands up. Oh, it's just so much. You just so much about Christianity. I'll tell you, it's just more than I can handle. No, my friend, listen to me. Don't be like the person that said, I had it better before I got saved. What a deception. Because you see, they didn't know. The devil comes along and convinces you, you know, you can't ever know God. I mean, you know, those preachers up there, they talk about knowing God and talking to God and all of that, you know, and that's their job. But you know what? Jesus didn't say the preachers, only the preachers would know him. Now, I grant you, the preachers should know him. Amen. Might want to tell somebody he got that one right. Anyway. But you know, he wants you to know him. He wants you to talk to him. He'd like to hear from you. Yes. He'd like to hear from you because he you're his child. He's your father. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He helps you. He is the helper in your relationship with your father. Amen. So you have to realize then that we are in a tremendous position as Christians. Look over here in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." He said it is to our advantage that he would go away and the Holy Spirit would be here. And the thing of it is, it is beneficial to us. We're living on the post side of the cross. You know, we're post Calvary people, meaning we're not looking toward it; we're looking back at it. Isn't that right? What does that mean? That means then that the work that that Jesus did is complete, and he has ascended. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is ever interceding for us. And you know, you have to realize then, you have to realize that's beneficial for us. That's better than the disciples had it before his death, burial, and resurrection, even though Jesus was with them. You see what I'm saying? Because you see, now listen to me, but you also have to understand this. It's better for the world that if Jesus ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand where he ever intercedes for them, and the Holy Spirit is here, because now the whole world wherever every person is, can also experience the work of God, because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus was had a physical body. He had finite limitations when he was here on earth. He had 12 disciples that were close to him. Let me just point out a little real quickly. It doesn't matter how many people there are that want to come close to the Holy Spirit and hear him and talk to him about their life. They can all do it. There's no limit. There's no limit. I know that you pray to the Father. Now, let me just point this out. I know you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? But why is it? Why is it you get in a crisis and you say, "Oh, Jesus"? You know, most of us don't say, "Oh, Father." It's, "Oh, Jesus." And we talk to him, don't we? You ever tell Jesus how much you love him? We should, shouldn't we? But you know, here's another thing. It's also okay to talk to the Holy Spirit and ask him, because he's your guide, he's your companion, he's your helper. He's the one that's with you. He's the one that's with you. He would like to hear from you. And the reason, let me just tell you this. This is rising up. The reason you don't get answers that you need is because you never talk to him. Or you don't talk to him enough. Or you don't ask him the right questions. I'm a man. And sometimes I think the question, but I don't say it. I think what I want to know. And I wonder about things, but I'm just thinking it in my mind. I don't speak it out. Maybe that's a man thing. I don't know. But I will tell you this, that I found out that I can think something about, you know, my circumstances, have a question about my circumstances, and I don't hear a thing from the Holy Spirit at all. But as soon as I ask him about some things, I start verbalizing, "What do you think about that? Holy Spirit, what do you think about that? What do you think I ought to do about that?" You know, I'm not telling you to become a spooky person. You know what I mean by that? Some people are so sensual, what I mean, so governed by their senses that they have no spirituality about them. But then you've got the people on the other side that are so spooky that you just want to stay away from them. They're out there somewhere. I was preaching in a church a number of years ago, back in the early 90s, and we had been speaking they had brought me in to speak on the Holy Spirit and some things. And so one of the ladies in the church jumped up, got all excited, and started dancing, and just right in the middle of the service. And then she said, then in a loud voice, she said, "Oops," she said, "I bumped into the Holy Spirit." And I thought, "Ma'am, you didn't get it right. You're the one on the outside, and he's inside." But I didn't tell her. You know, it's not good to correct the, well, anyway. She had a position in the church there, and so we let it go. And, you know, we handled it in a different way. See, people get spooky about some of these things. You know, people, sometimes in following the Holy Spirit, they say, well, they think they ought to just shut their mind off. No. God gave you a mind to use. Amen. The key is to get your mind thinking the same way that the Holy Spirit is. And that's according to the Word. Isn't that right? And so you have to realize then that as you learn and realize. Now, turn with me over to where are we at here? Down here. I want you to look at verse 13. "However, when he," the Spirit of truth, "has come," and you know he has come, isn't that right? "He will guide you into all truth.
He will not speak of his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I don't know about you, but he guides us into all truth. He tells us things to come. Then Jesus goes on and he says, he will glorify me. So he glorifies Jesus. Whatever he does is going to lift up Jesus. He said, he will take of what is mine, whatever Jesus has, and declare it to us. He'll show it to us, open it up so that we can know what it is. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Everything that the Father has, all heavenly, everything that's in heaven belongs to Jesus. Jesus said, it's all mine now. And he said, the Holy Spirit will take that, whatever is his, everything, and declare it to you, show it to you. Bring it forth so that you can understand it. He has many things he wants to share with you. He has many things that he wants to bring forth to you. But you see, now the problem comes in knowing the Spirit of God, and that is that we have nothing to really compare him to other than some abstract ideas. Spirit, he's a spirit. Holy Spirit. I looked at that years ago, and I was all excited about always investigating things that were unusual. I had a fascination for things that were paranormal or mysteries or things of that nature. And so I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I was from the church of Ephesus, where Paul came and he asked, and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we haven't even heard there is one. That's the church I was in. We didn't know. So when I read in the Bible one time about the Holy Spirit, I just assumed he was a good spirit or spook that wouldn't hurt you. That's all. That was my brilliant conclusion. Aren't you glad I've come a little further? But you see, the thing is, in order to know him, you've got to he is here with you, but if you ignore him, you'll never get to know him real well. The one thing I know, I'm not a marriage expert in the sense that I'm still learning. But I do know one thing. If you don't spend time together, it doesn't go so well. If you ignore, it doesn't go so well. Isn't that right? And I have to tell you, you know, one of the things that Genesis points out is that the wife is to be a helper comparable to you. But you know, guys, if we don't ever talk or spend time or just get to know them and just get in, have fellowship together and talk, we don't get the help that we need. And it's the same way with the wives. You know, the husband is to take care of the family and everything. But you know, if there's nothing, no interaction back and forth, the help is limited that comes from the husband. Isn't that right? Could I get a better amen, as Brother Bill says? You say, well, could you go back and speak on the Holy Spirit, please? What I'm trying to tell you is this. It doesn't go so good. The Holy Spirit knows everything. There ain't anything that you can bring to him. He doesn't know. He's never going to look at you and shrug his shoulders and say, I don't know. Never seen this before. He's not going to do that. The problem is, so many times we ignore him. He is always with us. You say, well, I just don't know where God is. Well, as a Christian, he's right there with you, whether you realize it or not. He's in you. The Bible says he is in you. He abides in you forever. He never leaves you. That means on the days when you're in church and you think everything's going well, and you're shouting hallelujah, he's with you. That means on the days when you're by yourself and kicking the furniture and saying words and lose your temper or drive too fast or break the laws or whatever it is that, you know, you happen to do. I'm not trying to speak anything on you. How many of you know some days are just better than others? So he's with you on the good days, and he's on the day. He's also with you on the days that we don't talk about. Isn't that right? And you know, he'd like to hear from you. You say, well, Brother Yoder, I just don't know that he would even want to hear from me. I had a series of bad days. I just don't know if God would. I just don't know if he'd want to hear from me at all. Friend, he'd love to hear from you. The reason you're having a series of bad days is because you haven't been, part of the reason is because you haven't been interacting. You haven't been talking. You haven't been looking to him, spending time with him. What does that mean? That means you spend time with him rather than with somebody else. Isn't that right? And so we have to get into that. One of the things that happens then in endeavoring to know the Spirit of God is that we really don't have anything to compare him with other than the ghost stories that we hear and the, you know, and the haunted houses and all that. Does he really haunt us? No. And then we do the Bible, you know, a cloud is a type of the Holy Spirit. And we say, oh, is he just floating around? Wonder which cloud he's on today. Well, no, that's not it either. You see what I'm saying? He's a real person. If Jesus was a person, he's a person. He has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions, he has all the attributes of a person. Furthermore, I want to just read this to you. Sometimes, you know, and the Bible is especially so, when a person was given a name, it meant something. It was supposed to reveal something about them. You remember they changed Abraham's name to father of many, a multitude, you know. And that was before he ever had any. But Abram at that time knew by the name change that what was in his future. Do you know what I'm saying? So by the names that are in the Bible, people are known. I just want to read a list of names that are in the Bible that are used to describe the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says he's the comforter or the helper, whichever translation you might have. John 14:17 says he's the Spirit of truth. John 14:26 says he's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says he's the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9 says he's the Spirit of Christ. Hebrews 9:14 says he is the eternal Spirit. Hebrews 10:29 says he is the Spirit of grace. 1 Peter 4:14 says he is the Spirit of glory. Romans 8:2 says he's the Spirit of life. Ephesians 1:17 refers to him as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Acts 1:4-5 talks about him being the Spirit of promise. Romans 8:15 says he's the Spirit of adoption. Romans 1:4 says he is the Spirit of holiness. On and on we could go. Jesus used three in particular. Called him the comforter or helper, depending on what translation you read. He also referred to him as the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, whatever translation you read on that. And then he also called him the Spirit of Truth. And so you have to understand all these names mean something. When he's the Spirit of grace, then he's not the Spirit of law. Isn't that right? If he's the Spirit of holiness, then he's not the Spirit of unholiness, is he? If he's the Spirit of truth, then he's not the Spirit of lying, is he? If he's the helper, that means he's not helpless. Isn't that right? See, all those names mean something. It describes him. And see, just knowing the names helps us to understand him. If he's the Spirit of grace, then he's willing. We can ask him, help me, give me grace. Isn't that right? Because you see, you can only give what you are. You can't give what you aren't. And so we have to realize then that he is a tremendous, tremendous asset in our Christian life. God never intended for us to attempt the Christian life alone. He never asked you to just do your best. Some of you woke up when I said that. But you see, here's what he really wants you to do. He wants you to depend on the Holy Spirit and ask him to help you. Help me. Then that will be the best. But he's not interested in the best that you can do by yourself. The Lord explained it to me one day. He said this way. He said, the best that you could do by yourself is whatever you did before you got saved. I said, oh, that's not good. And so you have to understand then that he is a tremendous help to us. He knows where things are. He knows how to help people. He knows the steps into our future. He knows the plan of God for our life. He knows what you need on your job. He knows how to help you in your marriage. He knows how to help you with your kids. He knows everything. The thing is, you got to learn to become sensitive to him. What does that mean? Because you see, he's always sensitive to us. There's never a time when he becomes callous to us and just doesn't care. How many of you think if you ever asked him, help me, he'd look at you and say, you know, I'm really tired today. Can you leave me alone? No, he doesn't do that, does he? He's always sensitive to the needs we have. You say, well, how come he doesn't do more for me? Maybe it's because we haven't spent time with him and talked with him and asked him. Maybe we just assumed he'd help us. How many of you have ever assumed something and it didn't turn out the way you assumed? Well, you don't get what you assume. You get what you ask for, is what the Bible says. Isn't that right? So we got to learn to be sensitive. Let me give you a couple of things real quickly, and then we'll wrap this up for tonight. One is that you got to learn to be still. Be still and know that I am God, is what the Bible says. Isn't that right? Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this. He said in chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, he said, when you become before God, do not be rash with your mouth. Let your words be few and your ears be ready to hear. Isn't that right? I found this out about prayer. It's more, I get more done with God when I'm talking with him than I am when I'm just racing along and just talking and talking and talking and don't do any listening. You see, it's when you become still that you're able to hear and listen. I looked up in Psalms 46:10 where it says, be still and know that I am God. I thought, you know, be still. Okay, I'm going to be still. But I want to know what that means. So I got my stuff out and I looked it up in the Hebrew. What does that mean? What does it really mean? You want to write this down. You know what it means? Be still. It's just clear. It's as clear as it can be. Just be still. Be quiet. Cultivate a quietness. Don't let the outside stuff get inside. You know what I'm saying? You may be a lot of stuff going on around you, but don't let it get inside you. Isn't that right? And then something else that you can do to just be sensitive to the Lord is to spend time in His Word. Because you see, this is the Holy Spirit's language. This is what He would tell you. And when I take time to listen to what he's saying, what He's written down, isn't that right? It helps me at the same time when I'm reading, it helps me to hear. And then when I read something or I hear something, when He does say something, one of the things that we need to do is to obey. Obedience helps us to be sensitive. Disobedience eventually causes us to be calloused and not pay attention. And so be still. Spend time in His Word. Obey. And you'll find out that you'll start hearing some other things that things that you can do. People sometimes don't understand the value of their conscience. Don't violate your conscience. Because you see, the Holy Spirit uses your conscience to help you to determine right and wrong. Amen. And so just some things like that. But I want to tell you, just stand up with me. And we'll unhook here, and we just thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. I trust I shared something with you that will help you, encourage you in your walk with the Lord, to be able to just talk to Him, because He does want to hear from you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands up to the Lord, and let's just thank Him for the Holy Spirit, for sending the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Sometimes. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing Jesus to us, for helping us to exalt Jesus the way we need to. Holy Spirit, thank you for quickening to us and reminding us to come to the throne of grace where we may obtain help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our helper. You are our helper. Hallelujah. You are our helper. Say it with me. You are my helper. Thank you for being my helper. Thank you for helping me. When I'm helpless, I can still count on you. You will always help me. I can face everything that's in front of me because you're my helper. Not only that, but you're the greater one. You're the greater one. You're the one that's greater than anything. Greater than anyone. And so whatever's in front of me, whatever's around me, whatever I find myself in, you are greater. You can help me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for lifting me up out of the miry clay, out of the traps of the enemy, out of darkness, out of the habits, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me. I just want you to know, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to make it unless you help me. I need you. I need your help. I humble myself and I ask for your help. Help me to walk the way that I should go, according to the plan of God, that I might receive the promises of God, that I might receive everything, everything, everything that God planned me to have, that I may be the blessing. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to change my world. Help me to change my environment. Help me. help me to affect others for Christ. Help me to be a witness, leading somebody else to Christ. My example, my words, my attitude, my countenance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a flow and a way of living that can come as you listen and as you talk and share and ask and interact, even, yea, with the Holy Spirit that has been given to you. So do not hesitate, but come near and spend time and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. For surely He will. He will. He will talk to you. He will share with you as you listen, as you take time, as you obey. Surely that will lead you to another step, another way, another dimension, so that you may be able to move in everything that has been planned for you. Do not worry, for if you'll listen to Him, He will be able to guide you through the things of tomorrow, and it shall be well with you. Yea, the enemy shall come, and he will do this, and he shall do that, but the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to you, shall be able to take you through unharmed and bring you through in victorious way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's lift our hands up and thank Him. Hallelujah. Now that some of that was in that exhortation right there is specific for some people. Some of that is specific for some people. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember years ago, Brother Hagin, we were at a conference here, and I was traveling all the time, and I had gotten ordained and had my papers, but had never had hands laid on me like they do, you know. And so finally it came a time when I decided I wasn't going to do it right away until the Lord said it was the right time. And I spent 2 years. I could have got it done, but I waited for 2 years. And in that 2 years, I said to myself, it is no light thing for the prophet to lay hands on someone. And I'm going to get myself ready. And I spent that time consecrating. And I spent that time doing my best to get my heart inclined to the things of God that I just wanted to be ready to get the most that I could out of that. And I remember that as He came along, I had my eyes closed, and He came, I could hear His voice. He came close. I don't know whether he ever touched me or not, but I do know this, that I found myself, it seemed by the Spirit of God, picked up and thrown on the floor. And on the floor, laying there, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and He said, the attack will come. But He said, I will bring you through. And He began to talk to me about that. And I thought, well, I know what He's talking about a little bit. But you know what? You know, and He said some other things. But in the months that happened after that, just in the several months after that, there was a vicious attack that came our direction. I thought I knew about what the attack would be. It was far more than what I had imagined. And the Holy Spirit's words came to me many times in the middle of it. He said, the attack will come, but I will help you through. And I want to tell you something. That kept me. That kept me. I thank God. I thank God that He spoke to me. And He warned me. And He helped me and assured me, I will get you through. And He got us through. He got us through. I just want you to know, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. Put it in His hands. Talk to Him about it. Amen. Hallelujah. And He'll see you through. Amen. We'll have the prayer people come forward. And if you have need of prayer, for anything. They'll be happy to pray with you. There's ladies coming over here and men coming over here. And we want to extend that invitation to you at the end of the service. Just come up and they'll be happy to pray with you and believe God with you. And they know how to get an answer with you. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we want to encourage you to take advantage of that. We thank you again for coming tonight. Those of you that are here for the very first time, Connection Team, if you will find them, and there's a gift that they want to give you, and if you will go with them, they will show you that gift, and it'll be great. And you'll like that gift. If you don't like it, bring it to me. I like it. Amen. No, I'm kidding. You'll like it. And so it's a nice gift for you. It's our way of saying thank you for coming and visiting with us tonight. I trust something that was said here tonight encouraged you and helped you to maybe draw closer to God and maybe realize that the answer that you have, that you need, is closer than you think. It's within you because the Holy Spirit's in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody. Let them know that you appreciate them. Amen.